For today, though, we are going to chase our same theme. And so for many of you today, you've been in this theme of godliness. And that was from 1 Timothy chapter 2, right in there. We're going to believe. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. And so if you'd like to go ahead and turn there, we'll be there in just a minute. But as always, we kind of like to talk before we head that direction. So we've titled this today, Growing in Godliness. And godliness is not a word that we kind of throw around a whole lot, right? But it's something that's very important for each of us. It has implications for our priorities, for our intentions, for our investments, for here and for things eternal as well. And so that's one of the reasons we're going to pursue it. But if you've got your devotional guide, you'll see in there, I like the way that they start this week off. If you don't know what I'm talking about, some of you have them here, these little books from your morning Bible studies. Be glad to put one in your hands. It has a Monday through Saturday devotion, Monday through Friday devotion, Saturday preps you for Sunday class. And then we spend the next week talking about, this week will be godliness. So Monday through Friday devotions are about godliness, that kind of thing. But the way it preps us this week, it says that godliness is kind of our spiritual resemblance of our Father. And so the way I try to understand it is I think in physical terms. So I think about my mom and my dad. So God, as godliness is to my spiritual father, Penliness is to my mom and dad. Does that make sense? My last name is Penn, and so I've grown up under the influence of Kay and Lee Penn. I bear their genetic mix-up, and so there's a resemblance there. All sorts of things that display that I am connected. So sometimes I look like them. Depends on the day and the person. Some people say I look like my mom. Some people say I look like my dad. So go figure. I don't know how you work that one out, but I guess that can be true. We talk like them. So there are certain, you ever been around somebody, around a child, and you hear them talk and you think of their parents? And you see the way, or the way they said it, or the mannerism that they use, you're like, oh, that's them right there. They are so much their mother's son or daughter, or so much their father's son or daughter. All right, so we can see that whether that child is genetic or not, when they grow up under the influence of that home, they're going to bear those same mannerisms. I was thinking, too, like children aren't born with accents, right? So none of us have a child that grows up, and when they say mama, they don't say it with a British accent, you know, mummy, or however they would say it. Or they don't say, hey, ma, you know, or however they may say it in a different part of the country, right? That is bearing the resemblance and the influence of that physical heritage. And for me, a lot of people confuse me with my younger brother. And so I often get called Tyler, and I just kind of roll with it. And even my own family has done this. My brother's wife, Kelly, has walked up kind of beside me to give me a hug. And she looks up and she just smiles like, no, that's not right. And so I just squeeze her neck and tell her I love her anyway. And my wife has done that to my brother Tyler. And when our children were smaller, especially, you know, when a child runs and they fall down, they kind of get hurt and they're crying. And so they've got their hands up and they're looking for their mom or their dad. Well, his kids would come running to me. And so I'd pick them up and hold them. They just look at you and it's like, this is not quite right. It's close, but it's not right, you know. And usually it worked to stop the crying because now they're trying to figure out what's really happened here. This is not my dad. Who is this man? And so we're not the same, but we bear a resemblance, right? We're growing up under the same influence, and so we do say some things the same way. We have some same interests, and we bear some of the same physical traits. It's the same way with godliness. Growing up under our Heavenly Father, we bear the influence of Him, and we resemble that, and that's what this term godliness means. And so we're going to look into this today. We're going to see that it's really a challenge to be someone who's growing in godliness. It will be the challenge of our lifetime, right? To grow and become more and more like God. So one thing we want to say here is this. God's role is not up for debate. God is not going to resign and we're going to replace Him, right? So He's not like our president that we replace every 4 years or 8 years, however the case may be. He's not a king that we're going to overthrow. He's not someone we're going to assassinate. He's always been God. He'll always be God. So we're not talking about becoming God. We're talking about becoming godly. Godly, where His influence marks us, and then we resemble that as we go and do our life here. So Philippians chapter 4, let's find Paul here. This is kind of the conclusion of this letter to these people, and he's going to encourage us today. He's going to say, hey, you stay steadfast in your faith, which means there's going to be hardships, you're going to struggle, but you just press on. He's going to remind us to be united. And so listen, it's not by coincidence that we've just all gathered at 3725 Horseshoe Lake Road. There is a God-designed purpose that we're here together. There's a reason that we're joined here and not two blocks up the road or 2 miles up the road or two countries over. There's a purpose for why God has us where He has us. And so we want to make sure that we're honed into that today, and we want to just really seek that unity that comes there. But then we're going to get into this thing of godliness. And Paul's going to make it clear what it looks like and how we can do it. All right, so let's read here the first 9 verses of Philippians 4. Hard work. We're going to talk about hard work, but it's good work. There is reward. So verse 1 of chapter 4 begins, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Eudaia and I implore Syntek to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I'll say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And this peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, and whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." And so it is today. We're going to look into Philippians 4. We're going to tag a little bit of the end of Philippians 3 and see how these kind of chapters partner together, looking, trying to understand what it means to grow in godliness. So if you want to follow along in your bulletin, you can. We'll highlight three things that Paul outlines here as it relates to our spiritual development, this formation, becoming more like Christ. So the first thing I want to say is this: growing in godliness has a requirement. It requires us to do the hard work of thinking. It requires us to do the hard work of thinking, all right? So when we're talking about thinking here, it's not just that we have a side thought, but it's that we read, it's that we study, it's that we linger, it's that we stay, it's that we're really just trying to own what it is that we've just read, okay? So it is a hard task, and it is definitely a requirement. Now let's say it this way. Just because I think God thoughts doesn't mean that I become God-like, okay? Just because I read the text and meditate on the text where there's not the active work of the Spirit, then I am not going to become like Christ. And so this is my partnership with Him in His transformation of me, and it's the same for you. It's your partnership with Him in the transformation of you. And so to help with this, let's ask a question. How many of you woke up this morning, went to your kitchen, and laid out before you was a breakfast buffet that you had not prepared and no one else in your house had prepared? Anybody? None of us, all right? Why? Because it just doesn't happen, right? Nobody got up early enough to get the bacon out or the sausage out, and we get up in time to heat up something quickly or to pour a bowl of cereal or something like that. So nobody got up to do that. It's hard work. Right? If you've ever tried to create a delicious breakfast, it takes time. It takes effort. It takes a lot of know-how. Right? And so there's a lot of things that are required here if it's going to be a breakfast buffet. It's the same way with growing in godliness. All right? It takes intentional effort. And so here's what sadly many have believed. Many believe that they could walk to a building or come to a building week after week and do what Christians do and become godly. Right? Just because we show up at the same building at the same time on the same day and do what other Christians do does not mean that we're growing in our godliness. Right? It starts within. It starts with this area of thinking. And so let's go back and read it here. Verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. Paul's given his final statement here. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy," what's the next word? Think about these things. Or your translation may say, meditate on these things. And so a major theme in the book of Philippians is this idea of thinking. This idea of thinking godly, thinking about things that would be honoring to God. And so just to highlight a few of these, you don't have to flip back, but you may want to note these and look it up a little bit later. In chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says this, strive for what you've not attained yet. I've not received my crown yet. I'm not at the finish line yet. I'm not perfect like God yet. And so I press on. And so he says, think about it. Think about it. You've not received yet. You've not fully attained. And so we press on. And verse 17, he says, I want you to think about how other believers are living. And so when you gather together, examine their life. Not to say, hey, that's good in you and hey, that's terrible in you. But look at how believers live. Look at them. Think about it. Meditate on it. How those who say they love God are portrayed and how they walk about and go about in this world. He also says in verse 19, think about this. You have enemies who are enemies of the cross. You have enemies who are enemies of the cross, and they have their mind set on earthly things. So here again, he's talking about thinking. Those who are enemies of the cross just think about the here and now. But those who are pursuing God think about not only the here and now, but they think about things that will be eternal, and they let the things that are eternal influence today. So the enemies of the cross are just short-sighted. They think about only earthly things. Then we get into chapter 4. He writes, stand firm in this way in verse 1. Stand firm in this way. In what way? You got to go back to what we've just talked through. That you've not fully attained yet. You've not fully received yet. You're not fully complete yet. You're not perfect. There are enemies, but there is also a Savior who's coming. So live in light of his return. 4:1 reflects back on that. Verse 2. Paul says to a couple people, but really it's to our church, his church, God's church, be united. Have the same mind in the Lord. Think the same way. There is one Savior. There is one gospel. And so let yourself be saturated with the truth together rather than letting your opinions or your preferences divide you over things that are not essential. In verse 4, he says, just remind yourself the Lord is near. Think about it. How often do you think that the Lord is near? So we're talking about the return of Jesus, but we're also talking about right now. I mean, when you were singing and when I was singing, were we thinking the Lord is near? He's here. Or are we thinking, I hope this gets through the ceiling, through the clouds, and somehow gets to wherever God is? Where is God? He's here. And so Paul writes to remind them, think about it. The Lord is near. If the Lord is near, it just makes sense then. Don't worry. If the Lord is near, don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. But with prayer and this supplication, present your requests, thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Okay, so pray about it. Think God is here. He's close. Nothing's out of control. Don't panic. Don't get afraid. Don't worry. Pray. And he says, this peace is going to come and settle over you that just surpasses your ability to understand. He says, the Lord will guard your mind. And so here again, we've got this idea of thinking. And then in verse 8, he says, so think. So think. All right, what are we to think about? These things, all right? In verse 8, here, we're really to think about whatever, aren't we? Just think about whatever. You know, one of the times I got in the most trouble in my house is when I responded with the word, whatever. You should have been home. You knew you should have been home. And you're in trouble. Whatever. Pow! You ready to meet Jesus? And that was my mom. She's a strong lady. Are we to think about whatever? Yes, in this context. And Paul lays it out. Think about whatever. What are they? Well, he lists several for us here. It's not all-inclusive. These are just some here. He says, think about things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. And he throws in this idea of virtue. If anything has virtue, if anything has excellence, if anything has something worthy of praise, God praise, think about it. Think about it. Linger on it. Stay there. Let your heart and let your mind just be saturated with these words. And I think this word linger is important in this process. See, sometimes we have a fleeting thought. You ever have a thought and then you go, oh, what was I just thinking? You ever start somewhere in your house and you get there and you go, and why am I here? How many times do you open the refrigerator and go, what am I looking for? I mean, that just becomes, it's part of life now. And I hate it. But I guess that's just how it's supposed to be or how it's going to be. Anyway, sometimes it's difficult to linger. Sometimes those thoughts just kind of come in and then they go away. So what we're saying about thinking, there's a requirement. We've got to be intentional. But it is hard. It's hard to linger. KSDK told me last night, 79% of you would have a hard time listening this morning. Why? Because we lost an hour of sleep. 79% of people who took this little poll on their website said they were going to have a difficult time focusing the day after they set their clocks forward an hour. Right? So it's hard work. And listen, I understand we've been here almost 12 years. Voices get old. Voices get mundane. They get kind of this baseline that's just kind of the same, and you just kind of hear it and you go, oh, I know that voice. Oh, it's easy to sleep. It's hard to think sometimes, right? It's hard to think. Everybody's looking around. Who's he talking about? It's hard work. Thinking is hard work, right? If we'll let ourselves wander, we'll wander off to sleep. If we'll let ourselves wander, our thoughts will go all over the place. If we let ourselves wander, we'll look at all sorts of stuff on our phone or on our computer screen, or we'll involve ourselves in all sorts of conversations if we'll let our minds wander. And so that's why Paul says here, think about whatever, but make sure the whatever are things that are going to help you grow in godliness. And if they're not, Paul says, take every thought captive. We need to get rid of it because it's not there for our benefit. And so it's hard work. It's hard work. We need to linger. Listen, a lot of things in life that truly are worthwhile are hard. We were talking at our home here this week. We're such a spoiled country. We want the shortcut. We want the easy way. And when it gets a little bit challenging, we start blaming somebody. Well, why is this so hard? It should be so easy. The payoff is when you work through what's hard and you get it. Whether that's an education or whether that's in a skill or a craft. And when you sit and play a guitar for a while and you can play two notes, and that's all you can play. It's frustrating. And you got four fingers that are bleeding, and you're like, ding, 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 ding. It's like, this is terrible. It's a stupid instrument. But then you press on, and you keep playing, and you keep trying. It gets a little bit better. Whatever it is, you start out cooking, and everything you cook, it all tastes the same, burnt. Like, what's wrong? But you stay after it, and you stay after it, and you get better, and you get better, and you keep trying. And the payoff is when we defer that gratification. When we defer it, when we do the hard work now to get what's better later. And so doing the hard work now of thinking is going to pay off later when we have a better understanding of who God is. I'm reading this book right now called Think by John Piper. And in it, he talks about how thinking influences our praise. It's about the life of the mind and the love of God. And the whole point is that they aren't separate. Worship me in spirit and truth. We can be intellectual and be empty of worship. And we can have all emotion, but have nothing true that we're uplifting. They're kind of like a teeter-totter. One supports the other. Have you ever been on a teeter-totter by yourself? That teat won't tot, right? Have you ever been on a teeter-totter and somebody jumps off real quick? Yeah. That's terrible also. We were at camp my junior year and had a girl there who was a gymnast from Mount Vernon, a cheerleader, could do all sorts of flips. And she says, hey, guys, you, I want you to jump on it, and I'll stand on the low end, and when I go up, I'll flip and land. And it's like, oh, okay, that sounds great, right? And so we did it. Boom. I mean, she went sky high. What we didn't think about is that that would propel her forward a little bit. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, but the bar is about that big that piece of wood sits on. Well, she met it, had a face-to-face encounter. It was pretty rough, but it was pretty awesome, right? Because flying high, beautiful thing, right? But it takes two to teeter-totter. It takes two to teeter-totter. So if all I'm going to do is absorb truth, but never let that truth fuel the fire in me to love God more, then I'm missing the point of truth. And if all I do is come in and say, I want to cry, and I want to have my emotions stirred, and I walk out and go, why was I so happy? It's like the teeter without the totter, or the totter without the teeter. You've got to have both of these things going on at the same time. And so he says it's worthwhile to think hard. It's worthwhile to linger, because as you do and study and meditate, then it's going to grow your understanding of God, which is going to grow your love for God, which is going to grow your worship of God and how you live for Him. And so it makes sense that we do the hard work of thinking. The thing is, it's hard. It's hard. He gives an illustration of somebody learning to drive a car. You remember when you first learned to drive an automobile? Some of us are going through that right now. Some are getting ready to go through that. And it can be a little bit terrifying, right? Because you got to sit down, you got to buckle up, you got to adjust your mirrors, adjust your seat, and zhoom, zhoom, people are flying by like it's nothing, and you're just sitting there and you're scared to death. You put your foot on the brake and you start the car, and now what do I do? Look around, and you got to shift, and you got to put your blinker on, you got to look both ways, and you got to have your hands here, and you can't be talking here, right? I mean, we wonder why we struggle when we're driving with our knee, and we got a drink in this hand, makeup in this hand, you know, we're talking on our Bluetooth. I don't know what happened, officer. It can be a little bit scary. And so sometimes we just want to back away from the scary and go, it's just too hard, I can't do it. No, the payoff is one day you'll get to be like people in this room, right, who turn around and drive like this, and they're pretty good at it. I'm not advocating it, but you all do it. You turn around, you drive with your knee, you got one hand on the wheel, you got one finger on the wheel, right? Because you've done it for so long, it's second nature. Nobody gets in their car anymore and goes, oh, okay, put on your seatbelt, put the keys in the ignition, put my foot on the brake, shift it into drive or reverse, look both ways, just my, we don't do that. It's natural. It comes to us. And that's the way with growing in godliness works. There will be a payoff where we are becoming more and more like God. But it requires the diligent, hard work of thinking, of staying, of lingering, of keeping our mind connected. The Daily News has reported that over the age of 2, the average American consumes 34 hours of television per week. 34 hours of TV every week over the age of 2. This same company, Business News Daily, has discovered we spend 23 hours a week online. And there's this company called GeekWire who's figured out that smartphone users are on their phone 2 hours and 42 minutes per day. That equals 40 days per year. Right? Now, I know there's Bible apps on our phone. And I know there are good writers and great podcasts and messages online. And I know that's the same thing on television. You can listen to men who love the Lord and who have depth of understanding. You can gain many good things there. But how much of our phone use, how much of our TV use, how much of our internet use is geared towards us thinking more godly? How many of those thoughts are true and right and pure and lovely and admirable and noble and excellent and praiseworthy? I think I can get wrapped up in busy. And I can get wrapped up in doing where I don't linger long enough in thinking. And then when I do think, are the thoughts that I'm thinking godly? Are the thoughts that you're thinking godly? Thinking, it may sound like a simple little thing, but it's hard. I bet in these last 10 minutes you've had a hard time listening. And sometimes I have a hard time talking. All right? So we understand the struggle. We understand the struggle sometimes that's associated with that. You're going to read this later on in your Bible studies here in a few weeks, but in 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, Paul writes to Timothy and he says this, think over what I say. Think over what I say, and the Lord is going to give you insight into these things. Right? See, listen, there was a movement, and there still are people in this country who believe that to really think, to educate ourselves in God things is anti-God. You don't need Christian education. You don't really need to study your Bible. It's just you love God and He fills you and you just take off and that's how it works. They were kind of anti-intellectualism as far as it relates to spiritual development. But Paul writes here at least, well, we've read probably 8 or 10 different times where he says, think. Think. Engage your mind in these things of God. And God will give you insight into them. You know, I think Aretha Franklin had it right when she sang that song, You Better Think, right? We better think. If we want to grow in godliness, we better think about these things of God. All right, let's progress here this morning. Growing in godliness is hard work. It's got a requirement, and that requirement is thinking. And if we're willing, our mind can get disengaged. If we'll be intentional and stay and linger, then Paul says here, God's going to give you some insight. He'll reveal some stuff to you. All right, secondly here, then growing in godliness is going to be demonstrated by how we live. And there's a process here. Right, we talked right at the front by saying we can come to the same building, do the same things, but not grow in godliness. So we're talking about thinking where we're developing within, and now that should be modeled on the outside. So it's demonstrated by how we live. We see this beautifully in Paul. Paul was a thinker. Right? Paul was known to be a very educated man, up at the top of his class. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He had been educated. He had been to school. He had spent some time after he had been saved learning the truths of God, letting God be poured into him. And so he lingered there, and he grew in his godliness, and God gave him some insight. And so the result was, not only was his character changed, but his life was changed. Not only what, you know, who he was on the inside, but now it's the way he's interacting with all the people around him that also have been changed. So just think about it. Up till that point where Paul met Christ on the road there, he was a persecutor of Christians, right? He was a messenger for other people, but he would not be a messenger for Christ. And so now that Saul has this encounter with Jesus where his life has changed and there's this growth that happens in him, now he is a messenger for Jesus. And now he is a spiritual developer. He's trying to make Christians. He's trying to build Christians. He's trying to equip people to be disciples. And so we see this beautifully demonstrated in the life of Paul, the change that godliness makes in us. And so how does this work? We get in the Word so the Word can get into us, and then we let that Word transform the way that we love, the way that we see the world, the way that we use our resources, the way that we give, the way that we share. Everything about us and how we interact with everyone around us is changed. And so Paul says, since I've done it that way, and that's how God's worked in me, I'm going to challenge you to do it the same way. I'm going to challenge you. This is how it's going to work in you as well. And so in verse 9, he says, Philippians 4, whatever you have learned or whatever you've received or whatever you've heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Put it into practice. And so Paul says, this is how it's worked for me, and I know then this is how it will work for you. Right? And isn't that how it is with us? That's how we pass on confidently anything. I went to the store and I bought this item for 50% off. Right? I bet if you'll go there, you can get it for the same price. What makes me think you can get it for that price? Because I got it for that price. Okay? And so that's what Paul's saying here. This is how God worked it in me, and I believe this is how God will work it in you. And so you can pattern after me. Think God thoughts. Think about whatever is godly that's going to help you become like God, and then you're going to see this change in your life. And then put these things into practice. And so don't just gain the truth and say, I know what it says, but let our lives be an example of that reality. And so here again, this is a process of life. It's a process that goes on and goes on and goes on. So the truth is, my testimony should never be, I have become. Right? My testimony as a believer should never be, I have become. It should be, I am becoming. I am growing. I'm ever changing. I'm always growing. There is this continued progress of life that's taken place in us. And so as we progress through the life here, one of our main goals has got to be growing in godliness so that it can be portrayed in a demonstration of godliness. And Paul makes something very clear here that should be true for us as well. If Paul could say, go to the store and get it for 50% off, we should be able to say the same thing. Okay? This is what God did for me. You can look at my life and see that it's true. I'm not perfect yet. That's what I'm striving for. Okay? I'm not there yet, but you should be able to pattern your life after these same precepts that I have, and you'll grow in godliness, and you'll demonstrate what it looks like to be somebody who resembles their Father. You're living under that influence of God. You're developing that godliness. See, far too often, I think we settle for being good rather than being godly, if I'm honest, because it's hard. We settle for good things. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good pastor. I want to be a good friend, rather than being, I want to be a godly husband. I want to be a godly follower of Jesus. I want to be a godly father. I want to be a godly pastor. I want to be a godly friend. Right? Again, that standard is perfection. You remember when Paul wrote to the Corinthians there in the end of it, he says, aim for perfection. Will we ever hit perfection here? No. Is that to discourage us? No, it's there because that's the standard. And so don't ever settle for something less than that. Let's live and let's dedicate and devote ourselves to being people who could say to the next generation coming up, hey guys, look at how I live. Look at what I am focused on. Look at the intentions of my heart. Look at what I'm devoted to. Look at how I use my hands, everything about me, and follow this pattern. Right? We are to be a model. Scripture's full of this, Old Testament, New Testament, of parents and elders and communities teaching, modeling, demonstrating for children the kind of people they're supposed to be. And so Paul's doing that here as well. We are to be changed within, doing the hard work of thinking, so then we can demonstrate with our life what it looks like to be someone who is godly. Aim for perfection. Don't settle just for good. And then third here, we're going to see just the end of this progress of these two verses together, verse 8 and verse 9. Growing in godliness is going to assure us that the God of peace is with us. Growing in godliness is going to assure us that God is with us. We sing a lot of songs that have little taglines to them. Right? And usually a tag is often just to repeat the last line or something like that. Like we sang a tag this morning, that last song of our prayer song, and nothing I desire compares with you. Just a little tag. Well, Paul puts this little tag right here, and the God of peace will be with you. All right? Finally, think about these things. All right? Let them grow and just change you, and then practice them. Oh, and the God of peace, he's going to be with you. Now, a few verses earlier, Paul reminded us that when we get worried, if we share our request with God, God's willing to exchange our worry for his peace. All right? God's willing to exchange our worry for his peace. And so he's talking about this peace of God. And that's amazing. All right? God doesn't say he's going to remove what's bringing our worry. He says he's going to give us this peace that surpasses our situation. Where I should be afraid. And I should be worried. Even though my situation hasn't changed. God says, if you'll pray and trust me, I'll give you peace. So if that's when we've all probably had children or grandchildren that have been in a hospital. And we sit there and we wring our hands and we're just terrified. Oh, what's going to happen? We don't want to let our mind go anywhere. We don't want to think those thoughts. Paul says here, you just think. And then you pray. And you express that. And your situation may not change, but peace of God is going to come over and guard your mind. He's the protector of those things that seek to make us afraid or worried. It could be about a job. It could be thinking about, how am I going to make it when I retire one of these days? It could be afraid of dying. It could be afraid of a surgery or of a diagnosis or of a relationship. And we let fear and worry overrun us. Paul says here, think, pray, and this peace of God is going to guard your mind. He's going to protect you from those things. So we have the peace of God, but this is totally different. We have the peace of God. And let's go back to verse 9, and this is the end of that verse. And let's read again what the little tag says. It says, and the what? And the God of peace will be with you. And so not only do we have the peace of God, which guards our mind, but now we have this reminder, this promise, which we stated earlier, that the God of peace is with us. The God of peace is right here among us. And so here's how it works. As we're doing our part in growing in godliness, as we're doing our part of the hard work of thinking, as we're reminding ourselves of these truths and letting them change us so then we go out and live differently, God says, I'm all in that. That's my work. That's where I want to be. All right? Remember, the God of peace is with you through this process. He is right here among us. Matthew Henry simply puts it this way. The Lord is with us while we are with him. The Lord is with us while we are with him. And so as I'm trying to grow in godliness and as I'm doing my part, as I'm submitting to the pressing and prodding of the Spirit, being changed, being renewed, as I'm letting that be lived out, God says, I'm right here. I'm right here. So church, never forget that. Don't ever feel like you're alone. Never feel like you can't make it through whatever it is that you are facing. Because not only can the peace of God guard your mind, but the God of peace has promised to be with us as we are with him. And so we've tried to talk a little bit here about godliness and the idea of growing in this and letting that be the goal of our life. Letting that be the standard, aiming for Christ-likeness or aiming for perfection. And what we've said is that that's going to be hard work. And that's going to be something that requires diligence. What that means is I need your help. You need my help, and we need one another's help. people who can come alongside us and walk with us through this because it's difficult. Isn't it good to have people that you can bounce stuff off of? And I was reading the Bible the other day, and I just don't understand this. Or I think it means this, and somebody else goes, yeah, but it could mean this. Oh, that's pretty interesting, right? We've got this iron and sharpening iron thing, and where we're growing more in the flame or the fire, the tension or the flame or that spark there that happens in those discussions. And so we've seen it's hard work. We've seen that it's important that we think and that we linger, right? That we think about every thought. I've been trying to do that here this week, like to keep track of my thoughts. That's a hard job. I mean, it really is. And you can try it if you want to, but just thinking through this text, like really trying to think about every thought that I'm thinking. And I can't tell you how many times I've sat there this week and went, that's not a godly thought. That's not pure. That's not right. That's not true. That's not noble. That's not honorable. There's nothing excellent or praiseworthy about that. Why am I thinking about it? Why is my mind willing to stay there? Why am I letting it linger? Right? It's hard work. It requires intention. Just because we call ourselves Christians doesn't mean we're going to grow to be like Christ. And so again, it's hard work. We need to ponder and stay. We need to let Him work His change in us. And then we need to remember that He's right here with us. Every step of the way, the peace of God guards our mind and the God of peace walks with us. And so I just wonder here as we close, what does growth look like in your life right now? I mean, do you see godliness being grown in you, or do you see kind of this ugliness? You see some gunk that needs to be cleaned out. I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm praying more and more, God, get my mind. Get my mind here. I'm just frustrated. Get my mind. This is annoying. Get my mind here. I'm just, whatever. Just get a hold of my mind. How well are you growing? To initially grow means we must have life, right? And if you've never started this process of finding life in Jesus Christ, you'll never grow to be godly. And so I just want to encourage you today to pursue Jesus. That's where life begins. He's the author of it. And not, hey, I'm breathing, I've got life. No, I'm made spiritually alive, where I've realized I'm a sinner, and that separates me from God. But God has loved me, and He's shown that by giving Jesus to die for my sin. And so that in believing in Him, put my faith in Him, hey, you'll be my Savior? Yes. Then I'm asking you to save me, trusting that He is the Savior, confessing Him as the Lord of your life. His promise is He'll save you. Maybe today you'd like to receive Jesus by faith. Now, if you've already done that, though, I just wonder, what's your thought life like? What governs the way that you think? There's that little progression of things, like what you think about are the things that you'll do, and what you do develops the character of the person that you are. And that's how it works. And so maybe there's some thoughts in our life we just need to let go. Maybe there's some places that we've been willing to go that we just need to shut the door and say, I'm not having that thought anymore, and I'm not going to allow anything there to help lead me that direction because it makes me angry, or because it makes me frustrated, or because it makes me lust, or because it makes me proud, or it makes me just envious or jealous. You fill in the blank. But if it's not a godly thought, Paul says here, don't think about it. It's not the right kind of whatever. Maybe there's something there you want to deal with. And then are you living out the change? Are you really living it out? And can people look at my life and your life and see that we're not who we once were? And I'm thankful that that's true for me in some ways. And then there's some ways I say, man, I still just feel like the old same rotten scoundrel sometimes. God, you got to get my mind. God, you got to get my heart. God, you got to forgive my sin. God, you got to lead me here. I'm just struggling. I need your hand. I need your help. So however God may be working in your life today, I just want to encourage you, now's the time. Let's confess it. Let's deal with it. Let's devote ourselves to it. Let's commit whatever is required of us today. Let's do that right now. After all, that's all we've got to answer for at this point, right? I can't answer for tomorrow, and I can't change yesterday. All I can do is work with who I am right now from this step forward. All right, are you growing in godliness?